A group of strangers receive a mysterious message from an old friend on the planet of synthetic life. When tragedy strikes, these intrepid heroes, or should we say intrepid investigators, must solve a murder in Metal City. I'm Jason, and I'll be your GM for this neon-tinted noir mystery.
The name's Tim. I'm wearing the shoes of Dexter Rain, a shameless, a gumshoe, pounding the pavement in the guts of striving, looking for trouble. And sister, trouble always finds me.
I'm Isis, and I'm playing Vaz Salty, a snarky medical drama actress.
I'm Rue, I use they, he, or ze pronouns, and I'm playing Whose Bows Are Lit Within, Bows for short, an inflorescent Kizar Solarian, who's a ray of sunlight from the chilling depths of the ice wells.
I'm Jocelyn, and I'm playing Together in Electric Dreams, a contemplative technomancer seeking the spark of life.
I'm John, and I'm playing Zabi Fragolarius, an elder skittermander with a penchant for explosions.
And I'm Alex, and I'll be playing Patsy Van Dyne, a rat about town with her nose in everybody's business.
And now, on with the episode. All right. Welcome back. Is our team going to take some heat, or will they be left out in the cold? Previously, our intrepid investigators were picked up by striving security forces and charged with Grand Theft Artifact. Luckily, Flatfoot Lieutenant Hessop believes that they're innocent. Someone is setting them up to take the fall. Now, with their every move tracked by security wingbots, the gang has only a week to gather evidence that will clear their names. But their only lead has fled the city into one of the nearby ice wells. Are the investigators ready for a big chill? Get it? Anyway.
Yeah.
There we go.
Right. Okay.
Very good. Incendiary grenades. That's what I need. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. Start thinking about that. But before we do, let's open up on a winter storm. Winds howl across a frozen landscape of stone. Not a tree or a bush in sight. Not even a branch poking up from the beneath the snow. The only visible thing is a large cabin huddled against what must be a cliff face. Inside, the cabin is spacious but still cozy. Faux wooden beams give the impression of an alpine chalet. Two large, comfy sofas sit facing a roaring fireplace, but a faint shimmer reveals the flames are holographic. Still, the place is warm, and a faint scent of cinnamon hangs in the air. Doors lead off to the kitchen and several rooms, and one wall is open to a dining area that can sit at least a dozen people. The door to the vestibule opens, and Tier 99 Professor enters. They're wearing winter gear, not for warmth, but to keep snow and ice from getting into their servos. They're removing a pair of gloves from their actuators as they say, "Amazing, just amazing. Even if we didn't find anything of significance out there, it's just so thrilling to experience these majestic ice wells in person." Behind the professor is Whose Bows Are Lit Within, removing their own winter gear in the vestibule. Tierney continues, "Well, if I can secure the funding, we should be able to schedule some more, even deeper dives, and who knows what we'll find." So, Bows, this is basically the end of your first foray into ice wells with Professor Tier 99 Professor. What, like, how'd it go? What did you think of the? What'd you think of all of it?
Oh, I think Bows is used to giving sort of like less archaeological tours. Like most of the time, when Bows gets like paid to guide someone through or into an ice well, it's I need to get from point A to point B, or I am looking for like specifically like a plant or a like I'm here harvesting like
harvesting some stuff.
Plant materials. And so when they were approached with this, they were like, "Oh, this professor is probably going like wants to get some botany samples or something."
Turned out.
And instead they got like I'm assuming that much like J.R.R. Tolkien, Tierney is the kind of professor to like just talk as he walks and as they walk and explain things to you.
They're a real chatterbox for sure.
Oh yeah. So in the last couple of like days that they've done this, Bows has learned more about the first ones than they have ever known in his entire life.
Yeah.
And so like very like cheerily as they're unwrapping the like warm leaf cloak that they were wearing, just, "Well, I will say this is the first time I've led people into that cave and they have not said there's nothing in here, and walked away. So it was very fun to, I guess, learn more about what was here before we were here.
Well, I mean, yes, just traces in that particular cave. But again, I think deeper down, you expect these ice wheels were made by someone, of course, right? They're not just naturally occurring, as far as my studies have learned. Another Kizar sort of comes in from the kitchen. This is spring shoots emerging through frost, the proprietor of this sort of chalet base camp. He's got kind of a blue flower head, as opposed to your sort of red one. And he's welcoming you both warmly and is offering you cups of steaming barley tea or machine oil, whichever you prefer. Spring Frost, for short, as it does come in, and he asks you what your how the trip was and what the day was like. You basically went like, so this ice well is called Teardrop Ice Well because of its shape. It's sort of very narrow at the top and goes like that. There it's sort of layered basically, right? And this top layer is where the chalet is, and then you kind of went the one layer down. It's called Day Delve because it's kind of touristy a little bit.
Yeah.
For Spring Frost, I set a picture that he's being voiced by Jermaine Clement. I'm not gonna be able to do that voice, but I just want him to sound like that in my head. Picture a nice rich New Zealand accent as he asked you how your day was.
Oh, it was wonderful. There were a lot of excited people in the Day Delve, but for the first time, I got to learn something from the person I was giving a tour.
Oh, amazing. Well. You'll have to come back, goes to the professor. You'll have to come back in a couple months when the storms aren't so fierce. It usually isn't this snowy up here, but and if you manage to make it deeper down, you'll get to the sort of warmer, more foresty climbs. So, you know, you have a little chat and, you know, Spring Frost is very amenable. And I don't know what Baos thinks. And if you've known Spring Frost before that, but like, you definitely kind of like get a bit of a rapport with him, I think. Because he's very personable, very, very charismatic, amenable. And he's basically like running a business here for this kind of thing.
Doesn't
leave the chalet that much.
Yeah, this is probably a good meeting point for whoever like hires Baos to accompany them. So probably they've hung out with Spring Frost before.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Definitely. So you're good friends. You're close enough. That day kind of passes. You know, and then Tier 99 heads back. I think you stay the night wait for the storm to die down. Tier 99 heads back to striving. You head off to do maybe some other tour guides and whatever. And then it's obviously eventually after a couple months, you're doing a couple more with him. You've met Zabi, there for maybe blowing things up or not. But very, very tangentially. But then we return back to the present. So Alex, you've just sort of gotten some information from Grandmother Rat. And they're basically letting you know that the person that you're sort of that you need to get some information, you need to get some stuff to clear your name, maybe get those artifacts back. But those artifacts have been taken out of the city. Grandmother lets you know that they have gone to Teardrop Ice Well, which is the nearest ice well to Striving.
Well, that's convenient.
It is about a couple hours sort of by vehicle or a day if you want to walk, but who's going to walk in the non-atmosphere of Avalon?
Me walking as if.
Well, you're going to maybe have to do some walking once you get there. As mentioned, you're all sort of under surveillance. You were asked not to actually leave the city because, you know, you've got your date with the machine court because we're arrested for a crime you... we all know you didn't commit, but the bureaucracy seems to think you have committed it. What do you want to do?
There's a lot of things we need to do here. I think probably, you know, I think I left the group when they were going to... Analog,
yeah.
If I remember correctly. And I know I got a place to crash for the night. And I'm fine if the drone follows me to the safe house. I don't care. We can burn it. It's fine.
Yeah.
So I think probably I leave the Warrens and I thank Grandmother and the Acolytes there for their help. And, you know, I understand that there's a debt that will be called in at some point. And, yes. You know, who knows when that'll be. But I think I probably make my way back to Analog to meet up with the rest of the group. And probably figure out how much cold weather gear we all have.
Yeah. And besides that, with that information, is about the only thing you're going to be able to get out of Grandmother for this. You're not going to necessarily, maybe you could borrow a vehicle from them, but you're not going to be able to get like more guns or anything like that. You're gonna
have to deal with that. That's not what we're about anyway. Like that's not what I'm going to them.
Information. Is what you went there for, and information is what you got.
Information is what I have received, and therefore the transaction is complete. So yeah, I think I'll just head back to Analog and see if my friends are still there and accept the drone following me again.
Right. Yeah. Okay. When you step out of the Warrens, that's sort of a hologram that was sort of it watching you, sort of like disappears and it picks you up again. And
yeah, I sort of like step right into the hologram, meet up with the pose, and then I'm like, oh look, it's definitely been me this whole time. Doo 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 doo, down the streets we go.
Exactly. And everyone is back at Analog, unless there's anything you wanted to do before that. And while Patsy was in the Warrens.
Not that you knew that I was there or anything.
Not that you knew, yeah. Well, okay, so you're all there. Alex, Patsy, let everybody know kind of the...
I think we reenact our first meeting, and I sort of stride into the doorway last, and I say, you know, of all the juice joints in all the towns, and everyone's real sick of me. and I just sort of plop down at the table looking much less energetic than I did a few nights ago. Just say, well... I've obtained some information, gang, but I suspect some of you might not like it. You, on the other hand, and I look at Babs, you might be thrilled about this. Think I know where the artifacts that are missing are. That's the good news. The bad news is, I think they're in the ice well.
That's not bad news.
It is very bad news. It's very cold in the ice wells.
I'm not allowed in the ice wells anymore.
Zabi's not allowed in the ice wells for two reasons, in fact.
And it's outside the city.
That would be the second reason, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it feels to me, unless anybody else has any clever ideas, that finding these artifacts, ideally, I suppose, in a way that proves that we didn't steal them in the first place, seems like the best way to clear our names. But we're also... not allowed to leave the city, as Dreams has pointed out.
And we have to go steal them from whoever stole them and pretend we didn't steal them. Is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
So I saw this vid one time.
Well? Oh, yeah. It's a teardrop ice well.
Go first, Zabi. So.
Oh, I saw this one movie where like people wanted to escape. And so they like, stuff their beds with things so it looked like they were sleeping the whole time, and we could just do that and nobody will know that we left to go to the ice well.
I think I sort of look at Dreams and I'm like, do you want to explain why that won't work?
Dreams mutters telepathically, you can try.
it's what do you call that? It's a metaphor for something, right? We can do something like that.
I don't think you've used that word correctly.
Yeah. Man, I'm not good at these things. I'm sorry.
Would you say, Jason, that I know Spring Frost well enough to have like their comm unit number?
Oh, sure. You want to give them a ring? Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. I know the person who runs the chalet at the entrance.
Ooh, a chalet. That sounds fun.
It is very nice. I think you would like it there. They have holographic fire.
How delightful. I think Patty is imagining something much grander than what you know it to be.
But as far as Bows is concerned, this is like the nicest place in the ice well. It's where tourists go.
Which is probably true.
I can ask them if anyone who's matching the description of our masked human has come through lately.
How would know if they're a masked, though?
You also have a vague description of the person unmasked, because he was talking to the professor.
I'm just going to assume that they were also wearing the mask at the chalet, but also that, yes.
Well, maybe at the chalet, but like, you have some video of him and the...
You're wearing a ski mask at the chalet. Yeah.
Well, you would.
I would like to call up Spring Frost and paint a word picture of Z.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. He answers like, the temptation to attempt to do a New Zealand accent is too strong, but I'm going to resist it.
Our New Zealand fans will cancel us.
Yeah. Oh,
exactly.
No.
I'm resisting it. He says, Bows. It was nice to hear from you.
How's it going? How are you doing? Oh.
Business is fine as usual, you know, people come, people go.
Speaking of, I had actually called because I was wondering, has, insert, just like...
Description, yeah. He's
solid pretty... description of Z here.
Right, yeah. We've had a few people come.
Like
it's actually funny that you should mention that. There was a gentleman, I would say... vaguely matching that description, partially matching that description. Come in, get some supplies. Just a day or two ago, I would say. Usually they don't stay out that long. He hasn't come back yet.
Yes, he hasn't come back from further in the well.
No. He didn't look like he was exactly a mountaineer. Explore. So I don't. And he didn't take a tent with him.
Oh, well, that's not very good. Do you remember offhand? Did he say anything or give you any indication of where he was going?
Just probably. Yeah, he didn't say much. Just bought some supplies and went on. He knew enough to get. Food, of course, you know, so I didn't make anything of it. But when he said he was going down to the canopy and didn't bring a tent with him, I thought that was strange. But it's not my job to save these people. That's your job.
Yeah, well, this one didn't hire me to be a guide, so.
Yeah. Too bad for him.
Can I ask you a favor?
Yes.
My friends and I are going to try to get out to the chalet pretty soon. But in case he comes by before then, would you just let me know?
Oh, yes, I'll ping you right away.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Can't wait to see you.
Looking forward to seeing you too, Spring.
Can I ask a question about these surveillance drones that are following us?
Yes.
Do we know what would happen if we left the city?
That information would be reported immediately to central processing. One is to imagine central processing would chase you down.
Well,
okay, so hear me out. This is a bad idea, and I need everybody to explain to me why it's a bad idea. I don't think these things are equipped to stop us from going somewhere we shouldn't. And we need proof that we didn't steal the artifacts. Is it a problem if they follow us and watch us reveal that we didn't steal the artifacts? I mean, getting into a police chase is a bad idea, right? This is a bad idea and we shouldn't do it. But I had to say it out loud.
They'll might have faster vehicles than you. You might not even make it to the ice well.
A voice from God has told me they might have faster vehicles than us.
But wait, more. What if?
Because I was there with you too, Alex. I was considering that. Then Chase was like, well, I was like, okay.
I'm like, oh no, what are you going to do? Record my heroism? Oh no, anyway.
Yeah. Anyway.
What if we can put a delay in their transmission of what's going on?
Is that something that our tech nerds could do?
Maybe.
I look at the tech nerd I trust most.
Yeah.
We could try it and see what happens.
Yeah, it's just like, if a delay got in now, it might be just seen as a glitch, right? If something didn't work out right. But we could get a proof. Like, how many of these drones are following us?
There's, I mean, we each have one, right? So, yeah.
We have one. Yeah. So that's a lot of delaying to have to do.
When we're all in one place, it's really funny because there are just like six drones hovering outside.
Do you think like two of them follow us and like four go to get like coffee or something?
Oh yeah, when you're all together, they
take shifts.
Fuck out. Yeah.
Yeah. Try not to rack up that overtime too much.
No, I think they're all here. They want that overtime.
I mean, honestly, relatable. Yeah.
Yeah.
We do know someone in central processing who believes we're innocent. Perhaps they could do something about it?
Oh, to delay the alarm.
Mm. I don't know. If we think central processing itself is on to us, presumably they're going to be the one who gets the signal first.
Right.
I don't know. Are there schematics for these things on the dark drift?
I think if one of you wants to do a computers check. We can also say basically that like that'll kind of cover the group. Like maybe these are all kind of like wirelessly linked.
Worked, yeah.
Like insert a bit of a sort of a virus into one of them. It'll propagate very quickly amongst the other five and do a bit of a delay. That sounds like a good plan to me.
Yeah, like, I mean, not bad. Like. It like, here's the thing, right? If they follow us and record us, like, it gets us proof that we weren't the ones who stole the stuff in a way that presumably, like, the central authority couldn't possibly disagree with because it's their own drones.
Right, yeah. But if it was delayed enough so we could get out before they caught us.
Right, exactly. Delay it by a few hours, or even, yeah, I mean, they'd probably notice if we shut it down entirely, so just delay it by a few hours.
Yeah.
Bows, how long would it take us to get down into the ice wells from the chalet?
Not very long. If he was just going to the canopy, that's only a couple of hours.
So we pop a, I don't know, 6-hour delay on these suckers? Anybody got any better ideas? This sounds pretty far-fetched, but it's all I got.
I have grenades.
Computery.
You suggest grenades for everything, Zoppy. Oh, yeah.
I suggested the video thing first. You said any other ideas?
Oh, no. Honestly, you know what? That's fair. I will give you credit for that. That was way better than my harebrained scheme. Yes.
All right. So which one of you wants to make the main computers check and who wants to do an aid if that's what you want or just do one?
Hang on. I want to see if there's anything.
I have the highest.
Four. Yeah, I have +4 to computers.
I have +8.
Oh.
Yeah, 7 here. I could assist.
So the entire time you've been discussing that, Dex is sitting at the bar, sipping whiskey, and throwing peanuts at his drone. Right. And like watching it, and then listening to what you're saying, and then he just basically pulls out his comm, he leans back, takes a sip, and he starts hacking.
Excellent.
I think Dex, out of all of us two, probably you've had the most experience eluding security, station security, when you need to. You're private eye, which doesn't mean you're not, but you're not necessarily eye, so. Sometimes you got to do some things as a private eye that aren't necessarily on the up and up. So you want to like go dark.
Can I attempt to convince the GM to let me do some nonsense?
Why don't you roll to see if you can convince me?
Okay, great. Is that Alex rolling his actual diplomacy? And if so, what's my modifier, putting you on the spot, Jason? What do you think my charisma modifier is?
What's your nice and high? What's your thing? I love hairbrain ideas.
Yeah. So I have a cantrip that is called Analyze Target, which gives someone a status bonus to impersonate creatures, treat wounds, or to recall knowledge about it. Could I try and use that to help whoever is hacking to apply the bonus there? I'm okay with you saying no.
What kind of bonus is it?
It is a +1 status bonus.
It's a status bonus. Okay. Yes. This is an important enough role that if you want to use the status bonus and then someone doing aid to do a circumstance bonus, those will all be good and juicy. So
I don't. Unless you get a +2, I don't need it because I can use a circumstance.
That's true, because you're doing Casey things.
Is that a status bonus as well?
It's a circumstance.
Okay, so you don't need someone to aid you, but a status bonus will stack with the circumstance bonus.
Sure.
So I'm going to.
They can get a +2. on a circumstance. If they crit it.
That's true.
Okay, so I will go ahead and cast my analyzed target, I guess, on Dexter's drone, as if he's the one going in there doing the hacking.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
Okay.
No, I can also give you my proficiency in robot lore, but your computer's is probably better.
Can I attempt an aid or no?
Do this. I'll let you go ahead too, John. But when you do yours, Tim, I want you to do it blind.
Okay.
You have your case bonus and your plus one status bonus from the spell.
This fills me with fear.
I know.
You can do it.
Can we apply a conditional hero point?
I mean, look, I'll tell you if you should use a hero.
Okay, that's
you'll know that much. I'll let you know that much.
So I get no status.
You get a plus one status bonus from me.
Plus one status bonus.
Oh, I do.
Plus one status bonus. Or from you.
Okay. So I have a plus nine, and it is a blind GM roll.
Yes.
And there it is.
The question marks fill me with fear.
I know.
Terrific. All right. So you hack in, you put in what kind of a time the like basically, you know, you have to make it reasonable enough that it's gonna seem like you're sitting here for X number of hours. Or it doesn't have to, and you don't have to necessarily activate this right away, right? Maybe you want to do some stuff first. But you know, you can also get supplies at Frost Lookout, which is, you know, the chalet. So if you don't necessarily want to do that. But what do you want the delay to be? You guys just sitting here in analog for like 4 hours? Something like that, or sleeping, like, and then you.
It could be some of our other wanderings that we've done already. So it just looks like we went back to other places.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because these have been following us for a while. I feel like at least several hours at this point. So
it's been about a day.
Yeah. So
total. Yeah.
I think you probably need about 4 or 5 hours.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. If it'll take us like a couple hours to get to the well, and then a couple hours to get down.
Just occurred to me the other thing that you could do. Is we do have a guy that has grenades. We could rig up a thing where we all get into a vehicle and it blows up.
Are we going to fake our own deaths? Is that what you're proposing right now?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Of course.
And then the drones blow up with that.
Well, here's let me ask you the question. The first idea was that the drones come with you and still film what happens.
Yeah, I think that's what we want.
True.
Yeah.
If you fake your own death, the drones aren't going to follow you out of town. Think you're dead. That whichever way you want to do it is up. You know, however you want narratively to do this, you let me.
Let's try the first way because we might need to fake our deaths later anyway. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's save that one.
Right. Save the faking your deaths and put that in the back pocket for later. Exactly.
Xavier, okay. I was just trying to bring you in, include you in this.
Don't worry. Time for explosions.
I have grenades. I'm fine.
I'm sure he'll be able to blow things up because no one spends that long in the canopy unless they're in a hole.
And I guess the question is, what kind of vehicle you're getting for this trip out to the ice well?
Ooh, Bows, do you have like a higher service that you get vehicles from when you take people to the ice wells?
Yeah, okay. I'm sure.
Buggy? I don't know.
Yeah, like one of those all-terrain vehicles with the multiple seats they use for safaris kind of deal.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
It's only enclosed.
Yes. Okay. Oh, yes. Not.
It's called a Delta II. It's got 8 axles. It's designed for Antarctic travel. I've been on them.
Oh, boy, yes.
That's what we're taking.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Right. Yeah.
Fair enough.
But well, yeah,
make sure you know that as you're leaving the city, are you doing this in the middle of the night while the rest of the striving is, well, it's a city that never sleeps because it's mostly robots, but are you doing it sort of basically at nighttime, or are you just sort of letting out right now? Are you waiting a bit before doing that? What's the plan?
Good question.
I think, do we wait long enough that the cameras can get enough to loop and then head out?
Well, they have a lot already. That's
true. Yeah, no, that's right. That's right.
So what we can do is we can go back and revisit a couple places again.
Yeah.
So it looks like that's what we're doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sort of take the long way out of town. I think that makes sense. Because we don't know how long this guy is going to be there. We don't want to take the chance he's going to move this stuff, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you take an hour to sort of then you initiate the virus, loop everyone, the drones.
I think I dash off and I say, I have one step to make. It's very important. And I dash off and I return shortly later, just bundled in the most furs. Just like the most.
You all get some little nose sticking out here.
I think we're going to buy them when we get there so we don't like tip anything off, right?
Nope, I'm good now.
Okay, it's fair enough.
I have a lot of fur. I'm okay. I'll just hold myself.
You're fine. You're fine. And you get into these this buggy and drive off. It's about a 2-hour drive. And as you're leaving the city, you're basically on essentially the moon, right? Like it's gray craters and nothing else, right?
And if you look to your left.
I'm curious, actually, in this group, who has been outside the city to, like, the wastelands? I genuinely don't think Patsy has.
I don't think
probably
I have.
Just those two, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just us.
Okay, yeah. All right.
And Dex has never been to Avalon before, ever. So
yeah.
Yeah. Dex, you're like... 4 days ago.
It's not an exciting ride, obviously. Y'all can watch sort of striving fade in the distance. It doesn't get like completely disappear because it is a gigantic megalopolis, right? Always lit up in the night. Again, it's also like just about to be sunrise here. So it's a little bit of normal light. It's not the super freezing cold out in the atmosphereless wastelands, essentially, right? The HVAC of the buggy is sort of going overtime to make sure that you all have oxygen to breathe and whatnot. And you get, after like about an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes, you see the sort of like, what is the ice well kind of approaching, which is a bit of snow, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. Around not a lot of it, too. So it's not really easy to see until you get it on right up close to it. And it all sort of is around this essentially 30-foot wide hole. It's not very wide at the top. And there is basically what looks to be a sort of a set of railless stairs carved into the stone going on down into the ice well itself. As you're all getting up out of the buggy, it's where you have to kind of, there's a weird like parking space where there's other people, but there's not anybody there now, right? It's pretty empty. I'll take that back. There's one like single person, like almost motorcycle vehicle in this parking lot. And then you get out. I said atmosphereless, but it's like the thinnest possible atmosphere. There's enough for you to breathe. But there is, it's thin enough that I'm going to have everyone make fortitude saves.
Uh-oh.
Bows, I think you've been out enough to get, like, I'm going to give you like a plus one on this.
Okay.
You've been in and out of the city enough that, you know, you've got the.
Oh, this is so rough. I think I need to hero point that.
Okay.
Oh. Zombie suffocates immediately.
Oh, no.
I'm going to die.
Stop that.
All right.
I'll tell you, you're not going to die, but you know, if you want to hero point, you can hero point.
Okay.
I just need one from dreams. Here we go. Ooh, look at that. Okay. No, I had dreams. Do I have everybody? No.
No, you're still missing dreams.
Oh, no, that was a computer check. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Oh.
Lovely. Okay. So we'll start with Bows because essentially you've been here enough. You've acclimated enough. It's thin atmosphere. Kizar's, do they even exactly breathe? You know what I mean? They've got some sort of oxygen.
They respirate like plants do, so they breathe through their skin.
Yeah. And so it's basically like for someone who does breathe oxygen, stepping out into a very brisk afternoon. Like, it feels like your lungs, you
know, chilly in there.
There's a little chilly burn a little bit, but not too much. The rest of you are, the rest of you, except for dreams, you're fine. You're not quite fully acclimated to the thin atmosphere. But dreams, you are again, you're mostly a big brain, so you're not, but you've got a little body, and those little lungs in your body are kind of having difficulty adapting here. You're just basically almost one would say having an asthma attack kind of thing. Finding hard to sort of like get enough oxygen to deal. I think for now though, that means you are fatigued.
Hey GM, hypothetically, if my armor had the exposed trait, would I be having a bad time right now?
Gosh, that trait is new to me. So,
exposed means it doesn't protect from the environment at all.
I just realized
that.
This is what this save is for.
Basically. Okay, great.
Sort of like how the suit is protecting you, how you're sort of dealing, and whether or not you're going to be able to like quickly or not as quickly acclimate to the very thin atmosphere. It's very, very thin. And so it's some steps down. You go down maybe like essentially like three or four flights of stairs. Again, no railing on these stairs whatsoever. You're entering a C note, right? Right. You know, it is a pit. You can kind of see down into it, but there's also just like enough. It's deep enough that like a couple, like maybe like 100 feet down, it just kind of there's like a weird cloud. Like you're above clouds that are underground. And it is chilly. It is not blistering winter storm that we saw in the sort of the prologue there, but it is cold. And it is there's no precipitation, but there's sort of snow and ice on the ground. And you eventually, after like, you know, 20 minutes of walking down the steps, get to this cabin. Again, chalet. It is big. You know, think of classic ski mountain chalet. It is big enough to hold like a couple, you know, a dozen people. And it is sort of clearly built to look like it's kind of rustic and old fashioned. But you can all tell that it's got like, you know, modern amenities. Mm-hmm. And you step inside and it's warm again and you can kind of like breathe a little bit normally again and whatnot. Dreams that fatigued is going to stick around for a little bit until you sort of rest up or something else happens, from that. And you're greeted by, Spring Frost, who I will show you now. Where are you, Spring Frost? Hold on. Oops. Here's this picture. Show you all. Oops. Show you. Show the players. There it is. Okay.
Oh wow.
Kizar's got this blue head. Right now, this is probably like a picture of him that is on one of the walls.
He's coming back from a fishing trip.
He's coming back from a fishing trip down there. And, you know, and he's got pictures, you know, hollow pictures of him on the walls near the front door. But most of the place is very cozy. Lots of good blankets. Again, that smell of kind of like nice smell of cinnamon. The holographic fire in the fireplace is giving off heat. And you know, he again sort of comes in. Welcome. Bows. So good to see you. Oh, you've brought friends. Excellent.
Yes.
Come in. Come inside, please. And he kind of heads off into the kitchen real quick and a minute later is coming out with like basically hot chocolates for everybody.
The beverages here are very good. They also have machine oil that apparently is also very good.
Well, you know, lots of anisites come down for this sort of thing. Do you want the regular barley tea, Bowles?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Excellent. He hands you that mug of that. Basically, it's like, now, what brings you? What brings you to the teardrop?
The person that I asked you about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
We had a shared mutual friend who unfortunately passed away.
Ah, I'm sorry.
And we wanted to talk to them about it.
No, I see. Well, like I said, he was here just yesterday and went out early yesterday and hasn't been back since, which is odd.
And he didn't bring a tent?
Didn't bring a tent.
Is that their motorcycle outside?
Oh, on the parking lot? Yeah, I imagine so.
We should keep a watch on it, or perhaps something else.
Mm-hmm. Well, if anyone's going to get out of the teardrop, they'll pass by here. I'll keep an eye out.
Thank you.
I can't help but notice that you all have drones. Wingbots. Personal wingbots.
Yes.
Is everything okay?
Therefore,
yes, well, you know,
new...
I, I'm an actress, and I'm just doing a little bit of a, you know, filming my my daily life kind of thing. I wouldn't worry too much about it.
I don't have Trivid. Sorry, I don't. You know, living
she's
out
very
here.
Famous. I met her in town.
Oh, well, it's a pleasure to have you here. Can we get a snap of you, though, once you've, if you, maybe a review later on, if you like the amenities here. Anyway, Bows, I want to thank you. You know, we haven't been here in a bit, so there's, you know, all the businesses that you brought. And I've never really fully, giving you anything for that. And you say you're going to meet your friend. You might need some stuff.
On your way here,
I made you all kits, basically, for the trip.
You are too kind.
He basically gives you all a little backpack. In the backpack is a sort of a zine style guide to the forest and flora of the ice wells. Will kind of grant you help you identifying edible plants and fungus down there. A little baggie of homemade trail mix, which counts as 3 days worth of rations, and two sets of bandages, explorer bandages, which are basically commercial med patches, and for each of you, an air bubble spell gem. He points that out. This is emergencies only. If you need to some breathable air, you know, one of you can hopefully use this for
that. Well, goodness, this is so kind of you. Thank you ever so much. The hospitality here is really quite something. And are these little marshmallows in the hot cocoa?
Oh yes.
Oh,
I made them myself.
Really? Well, that's very difficult to do. Well done.
Marshmallow root grows 4 tiers down from where we are.
That is right. So if you're, you know,
X is relieved that it didn't come from his.
I wasn't gonna go there. Yeah. I wasn't gonna go there.
Yeah,
I make them myself, including sap.
Slowly put the hot chocolate down. Well, I guess, I mean, we don't really have time to rest here due to our filming obligations, so we should probably set out.
Hopefully next time I'll get to stay for longer. I feel like I've missed on your stories.
Oh, yes. It's a thing that I'd forgotten about to wanted to mention to you, that something that did strange happened here. A few weeks ago, maybe almost a month ago, I wanted to mention it. Something fell out of the sky. And
what?
I thought for a second I was maybe seeing things, and I think it crashed into the ice well.
Oh.
I haven't been able to get down there to find it, but if it's anywhere, it's deep down. I thought that was weird, and your friend is gone off without taking a tent. That might be
very dangerous. Maybe. Yeah, yes. If something happened to him.
So just be safe.
Thank you.
We shall do our very best. Do the kits have climbing kits in them?
They don't.
Is that necessary?
You can get. There's places where, you know. Again, this is a not a completely explored ice well. Like I think that it's been mapped out from like a drone and topological perspective. But like there are places in there that people don't know about still, right? So it's still being explored. But that's like deep, deep down in like caves and whatnot, like that. Like maybe Rue was saying before. But there's enough. There are paths. There's so it's basically like a really steep hiking trail down. Okay.
It's coming back that is terrible.
Yes, the coming back up is going to be more difficult.
Well, no time like the present, I guess. And Patsy begins to put back on her many fur coats.
Sure thing. Okay.
I didn't hear you mention tents in here.
Oh, I didn't know you wanted. No, I didn't know you. Are you going to
we made a real big deal about how he went off without
that's
a tent.
A good point.
Because he hasn't come back the same day. Normally, if you're going to go out there for more than
if we're just going down to the canopy, it's only a couple You'd only be there a half day.
Would be mighty. But if you want to sleep there without that. A tent, though, that is odd.
I suspect that we're about to encounter some sort of lair. Humans aren't known for their cold weather hardiness. No offense to the human in our presence.
Perhaps they're not human.
Who knows? Okay, so
right.
You head back out.
We're not making a big deal about it.
I mean, you want to get some tents. You can bring it a tent or two. I'm sure there. We can sort of worry about the sort of like if you say you want to bring a tent, we'll worry about the sort of logistics of it in between sessions. But
we can bring a tent.
Springfrost has supplies, right? If you want to buy a climbing kit too, like, well, we can deal with that as we move on. I don't think we're going to get to that necessarily this particular session, so we can deal with it between. But it is important that once you get out there, I want to know how you want to do this. So if you're trying to like basically sort of follow these Z's tracks, we're going to start making some skill checks. This is going to essentially be a sort of a series of obstacles that you might need to overcome as you kind of get down into the area. So, you know, we start off at the sort of top level and then we head down into Daydelve, which is a little warmer. It's the weather actually gets a little bit warmer. It's still cold, some frosty, it's still pretty wintry. But here, down here, you can start to see grass kind of underneath the snow. Kind of a silvery green grass. And there are trees down here. Gnarled trees with sort of drooping branches and sometimes occasionally with blue and white flowers on them that seem to be, you know, winter blooms. You know, it's more, it begins to feel like you're getting down into a park, you know, again, sort of like a national park, not a sort of a, you know, like a city park. And again, you're kind of going around the edge of this C note as you're going down these layers. And some of them sort of maybe have some bits that jut out a little bit more to form kind of like, I guess, floors. There is essentially a hole kind of going straight down to the very bottom. For the very, very unlucky. Went the fast way down, but not the best way down. If anyone wants to give me a survival check or a perception check or some other check that you think might be handy for tracking.
Could I do something first as we head down?
Yes.
I would like to use a cantrip, which I had forgotten that I had, but that takes 10 minutes to cast. So this can be my exploration activity for this first round. And I would like to scan environment. I would like to analyze the natural environment in the area within a mile, learning general information about the atmosphere, biomes, and gravity, and forecast the weather for the next hour. Learn if anything in the area presents an environmental hazard. I just learn all sorts of stuff.
Yes, you do. You're basically kind of scanning a little bit. This entire level is not a mile across. It's maybe like, since the top of the hole, and again, sort of again, teardrop shape, kind of widening out, this layer is probably maybe at most half a mile across. But there's not enough floor across this half mile for you to like, you know, but again, there's, you know, you're getting, it's normal temperature, you know, it's cold, but it's not bitter cold. You know, there's not going to be any storms or anything happening within the next hour.
Well, that's good.
And you know, there's some flora and fauna. There's not as much fauna as there is flora here, but there might be, something like that, you know, sort of deeper down. Now, you guys, you would probably get a little, it says you get a mile, but you probably get a, you know, was that, how three-dimensional is that mile? We'll say the next round, you know, the a little bit lower down is a little, it gets, again, it kind of gets a little chillier, and then it starts to warm up a bit more.
Yeah. I only detect effects that span spaces over 30 feet in diameter. Oh. So like, you know, I just vibe check the area, if we will.
Vibe check, indeed.
Yeah, great. Okay, cool. That's what I want to do, to just kind of help people and let them know what's coming. And that will be how I am useful this round.
Fair enough.
And possibly in future rounds. It's a cantrip.
Yeah. Who knows?
Thank you, Akashic Mystic.
Ooh.
Great. But who among you is going to be the tracker? The, again, sort of survival or perception or something like that. You want to try to like find some sense of, you know, there's in a way, there's kind of only one way to go, but you want to sort of keep an eye on whether or not this person you're following has gone off into a weird cave or something like that. You know, there's a main path, but there are spots.
I have a +5 in survival.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Why don't you roll it?
So do I. Yeah,
cool.
I think we'd probably rely on Bowser anyway. You're the one who's been here.
Yeah.
Well, according to that, survival.
I'm gonna.
You don't have to hero point. I mean, you can hero point if you want to, but you can also just sort of. It's you're taking time and you want to roll again after some time has passed, kind of thing.
Okay.
If that's what you want to do.
Yeah, I think I'm okay with a 10 to start. And then if I do bad again for the next check, I will.
Sure. Does anyone else want to also, you know, feel free to give me a check as well? Or other skill, if you have some other skills you want to try to apply into this, you let me know.
Is there like a perception, you said?
Yeah.
You could use a perception. You can give me a perception. Okay. I'm going to do that, and I'm going to with that use That's Odd.
That's Odd.
In case there's something odd. You want me to roll a blind? I think blind, right?
Yeah, give me this one blind. Since you're looking for odd things. So, Bowser, you sort of start leading the company out into the cold, into the snow, into the frost, let's say. And again, you're not spotting, you know, it's hard pack, it's stone. You're not spotting, like, if there were tracks here, they're not going to last that long. There probably wouldn't have been many footprints at all. But you get the idea, you know. You don't see any sort of other sign, like off the beaten path, any signs of anything strange. And you sort of head down. You're getting close down to, you know, again, this is still day dev. You got to go a little bit around. You kind of like do a full circle of the C note before you kind of head down to the next level. As you're moving along, Dexter, you suddenly catch a glimpse of something in off the path in the trees, moving kind of quickly and very low to the ground. Scuttle. Something scuttles just out of your field of vision.
Bows?
Mm-hmm.
What critters am I going to have to worry about here?
This high up, there down low? Aren't that many, right?
There can be.
Something low?
Like lizard-sized creatures, are we talking?
Yeah, nothing huge. We're talking like, maybe they get as big as a small wolf, but nothing.
Yeah.
But which isn't to say there aren't dangers here, which is why
you
need a guide.
Yeah. Well, we are in essentially a wildlife preserve. There are a half dozen creatures that can and will kill you, and a dozen that can but probably won't.
The kinds of things I think, Bowser, you would know that you might have to like think about. Are sharp wings, which are kind of pterodactyly, and shroom claws, which are sort of animate mushroom lizards, basically.
Okay.
And, you know, perhaps sort of, you know, larger things sort of even deeper down.
I do have life sciences lore also. I could roll that to follow up.
Yeah, give me that check.
Let me recall knowledge.
Betsy pulls out her little pamphlet and starts flipping through it.
Yeah. I'm going to hero point that. That's rude. I got the same thing, but that's okay.
The same thing is better. Still. I mean, at this point, where you are currently right now and what Dex has said, you think there's a couple of shroom claws out there kind of stalking the group a little bit. It's probably a small to sort of stalk the six of you. It's probably a largish pack of them. But they are not necessarily, you know, they're dangerous, especially in a pack. But they aren't necessarily going to charge you. And if you do the right thing. You know ways of possibly sort of keeping them at bay.
I was going to say, like, would I know, are these like bears where you want to make yourself as big as possible? Or are they like wolves where you want to stay still and hope they think you're dead?
You want to be more stealthy than anything. Not to say an intimidation might not work. It could work, but you know, it's a little harder than sort of like if everyone kind of keeps quiet.
Everyone, there are. I'm going to do this telepathically, so I'm not making noise. There are some shroom claws following us. If you see a little mushroom lizard, that's what that is. There's a pack of them, and they hunt together, so we should be quiet and careful.
Patsy gives a thumbs up.
Thank you, Dexter, for seeing them.
I would like everyone to make a stealth check.
Oh, good.
I'm good at those.
Blind?
No, no, you can make this one.
Oh, wow, look, it's the shroom claws! I will be here pointing that. Thank you so much.
Okay, all right.
I can't imagine why, Alex.
There you go.
Wow, it's the shroom claws.
Oh, someone else also got a one.
Yep, that was also me. Got a one.
Point that.
You're right. Oh, no. You're right, Patsy. Look, it's the truth.
That's my third 8 in a row.
Oh my goodness.
That's rude.
Oh, okay. Now.
Oh, I should probably hero point mine.
No. What did you get? A 13? Okay, I think that at this point we're at more than half of you have succeeded, kind of.
Choice. There we go.
It's right in the coattails. The two people up in front have noticed this. So, like, I think because you're up front, you kind of definitely you get a, not spotted exactly, but you can have. There's a point where like you spot a row of them, kind of like on. Not it's a bit of a tr- you know there's a bit of a bit of trees, kind of you know these kind of gnarled trees. And they're kind of peeking out again. These things, I don't have a great picture of them, so you know, kind of picture them. I'm kind of picturing them almost like axolotls, but made out of mushrooms and a little more vicious looking. You can tell they have sharp, sharp claws, right? You know, they have like almost like a full, just every little nib of their finger is just a real sharp claw, but they're otherwise kind of like kind of have a sort of a bulbousy kind of head, no like fur to speak of. They're mushrooms. It's kind of again, but they do have eyes. They'll beat all of them beady, beady eyes, and they're just sort of watching you. And then they're watching the two of you, and everyone else kind of sneaks by as the Bows and Dex kind of hold their attention a little bit. And then you kind of like slowly move away. One of them kind of like darts in the other direction, and then the rest of them follow, darting back sort of away from where you went.
Zobby puts away the incendiary grenade that he had.
Fair enough, yeah.
Wildlife preserve.
I was preserving our wildlife.
So you move on a little bit, continue downward a bit. There's you sort of as you're getting closer to the sort of what is known as canopy, which has got a lot more, even more greenery, I said it was a little cold. It's actually a little warmer here down this next one. There's some runoff from above, some melting runoff. So there are these waterfalls that sort of head down sort of past this area. Again, they're sort of feeding the water there, but they also do that thing where like the waterfall is so high up that by, you know, a couple hundred feet, it's just mist. That's probably what's making that cloud. That's another like layer or so beneath you. Mm-hmm. I would like everyone to, not everyone, but whoever's making survivals and perception checks to sort of keep things, you know, let's keep an eye on things.
Okay.
Who's perceiving?
I'll perceive.
We'll perceive. And Baz, you want to give me a survival?
Survival, yeah.
Check for we'll looking
stay
for tracks.
Back here don't roll and try an 8. Not to be too loud. Because
Voss and I just in the
much
back gossiping.
Better.
Yeah.
Better, So you've been down, you've been kind of going for about an hour and a half now. Again, it's very beautiful down here. Very cold. If you like the sort of nature, it's very nice. There's occasionally maybe even hear a distant cry of something bird-like. But it's very peaceful and very quiet. And as you're sort of moving down into this sort of area where, which is now, which would be called Canopy, you spot something very strange. Like you're spotting, like you actually, Bowles, you kind of catch some scuffed, bent back plants, whatever, that are leading off the trail. And even before you sort of step off the trail, Dex, you can kind of see that in the sort of side of the wall here, just sort of behind some foliage that's been kind of moved, is almost something unreal, something that should not be there. It is like a steel door that is kind of about the same color as the stone. So it's if you were kind of like not paying close enough attention, you and the foliage there, would you'd walk right past it. But it looks like it's just been kind of like shoved into the stone. And as you get maybe take a step closer, these runes kind of glow across it, light up just a little bit faintly. What do you want to do?
Ho ho. Wow.
This isn't normally here, right?
And you've never seen this before, Bowles. You've never seen this before.
Yeah. Well, I think...
Who's our expert in this?
I think I know where he might be hiding, but do any of you know how to open magically sealed doors?
I've got an idea. I would like to pick up a rock and throw it at it.
Okay. It clangs off the metal.
I'll be honest, I really thought that door wasn't there. I'm out of ideas.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I thought perhaps how you cast the spell.
What spell?
Oh, throw rock. The clang.
You're a magic person. Can't she look at it?
The clang is like muffled, though. Like when you, if you weren't standing right next to it, you might not hear it. But it does hit something solid.
Bonk. Dreams tiredly floats up and tries to examine it with their arcane senses.
Sure, yeah. Give me like an arcana check.
All right,
okay.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah. Do you recognize this, first of all, recognize this door right away as like not being part of this dimension. Like it was pulled from somewhere else and just sort of jammed it, like appeared here. The glowing symbols across it are actually symbols of the god Elritu. God of like secrets and whatnot. And with a, you think that you'll need to make another check for this, but by sort of tracing the runes in the correct order, you'd actually be able to open it. Or you can try some other ways to open it. But there's a magic way to get it open. It's magically sealed.
Dex puts his hand back to fend Zavi back. You'll have your time. Give her a shot. I saw you reaching.
So if anyone wants to give me like a religion check or a society check or something else to sort of like know about Elritu's many symbols and whatnot.
I would like to be normal about this deity. Thank you so much.
Fair enough.
Alex is normal about Elritu. Patsy is also so normal about Elritu. Okay. Tell me, listen, it's secrets. Grandmother Rat.
Yes.
And the hidden truth go hand in hand.
Yeah, exactly.
Hand or weird rune in paw, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, you recognize
rune,
this sort of
unlovable rune in unlovable paw.
Was that a No Children reference?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate you for that. You recognize this is like baby's first Elritu lock, you would imagine, right? Like it's like you just have to trace the symbols in order, and then they sort of form the sort of hidden symbol in the middle, and you just kind of trace that. You go up there and just do it without half thinking about it.
I just draw the cool S.
Yeah, the S. Yes. The door kind of like hisses open. Atmosphere kind of atmosphere and sort of faint like kind of jazzy music. Kind of comes out and a smell of like incense and sandalwood. That's exactly what I was thinking. Just sort of like there's a, like a brief corridor, and it opens up into what basically kind of, it's not quite a speakeasy as so much it is almost like a bachelor pad situation. It is a comfortable looking like lair, right? It's a bed, you know, it's a den. It's a comfortable looking den. It's got that like kind of like 70s fireplace that kind of just goes like a tube and then is like it looks like a big flask. It's all oranges and browns in here.
The shag carpeting.
You kind of step this in. Podcast is about to get groovy, gang.
By alternate dimension, did you just mean the 70s? Like
it's the 270s, though. There was a brief resurgence in 270 AG.
You kind of like maybe step in. No, there's no bead curtain, but you kind of have to step in to get a full view of it all. And as you kind of like with a confused look on your face, there's a man on a recliner, like a brown leather recliner. He is dressed all in black. He's got a sort of a very much a sort of tactical headgear mask on, but it's pulled off to one side. He looks very plain. He's the guy you've seen in all the vids. He's the guy that was described to the professor. But he's sweating a bit, and he's kind of grasping his midsection. And as he sees you walk in, he goes, hold up. And his hand is covered in his own blood. And he says, hold up, before you do anything, I need to explain something. Will you let me talk? And you're all quiet. Okay. He's just going, look, okay.
I pull out five grenades and get them ready.
I mean, maybe you're pointing your weapons at him, but he's just like, hold him. He doesn't have any, he's got a weapon on him, but he's not pulling out. He's just holding his bare hand, his hands up, and they're covered in his blood. But he's got one hand on his wound, and he's holding up the other hand. In my defense, I really thought I was going to save your dimension. And that's where we'll end it for tonight.
Oh, no. Thank your most gracious pardon.
Excuse me?
I think that's a cliffhanger of some sort. I don't know.
That's it.